Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. So we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, well, you might recall, if you were here, not last week, the week before, we began to look at these verses before I was so rudely interrupted by this chest infection, and it kind of stopped us in our tracks a little bit. We started to look at particularly verse 8, and if you wasn't here that week and if you haven't heard that, not that I particularly recommend my own preaching, but you probably need to listen to that sermon. It is important. The subject matter is important, I believe, for God's people at this particular point in time, and well, always, but I think especially for us now, for various reasons that I probably alluded to at the time. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to kind of go on from there and sort of build on that a little bit, and I'm going to try and be a little bit practical later on. Okay, so that's what the bag has to do with, but we'll get to that later on. Okay, so we finished off last time with a question. Having considered what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, that means showing or having high moral qualities, whatever things are just, that is proper and right, whatever things are pure, that means untainted, innocent, unmixed, whatever things are lovely, that means deserving of admiration. You might want to go beyond that and say, what deserves God's admiration? Whatever things are of good report, that means of a morally excellent quality. If there is any virtue, that is moral goodness, positive moral quality. If there is anything praiseworthy, worth expressing approval and admiration of, then meditate on these things. So what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, meditate on these things. These are the things that you, Christian believers, should feed your minds on. Okay? These are the things that we as parents and grandparents should be encouraging our children and our grandchildren to feed their minds on. And I'm serious about that because, you see, there's a battle going on. And it's a battle for ours and their minds. I'm not like being trying to be alarmist or anything. I'm trying to be real. There's a battle going on for our minds. There's a battle going on for their minds. If you turn with me to Galatians, excuse me, Galatians chapter 5, says, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It's this battle, you see. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, Satan wants to influence your mind with sinful things. Evil things, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, all these other things we've just read in Galatians 5. That's the stuff he wants to influence your mind and the minds of your children. And you don't have to be super clever. You don't have to be super spiritual to work it out. That is the stuff This is the stuff our minds and our children's minds are being bombarded with 24/7. Am I right, or am I just being over the top? It's true. It's where it comes through the media, it comes through everywhere. It's what the minds are being bombarded with. It forms the content of so many films and TV programmes, doesn't it? Let's be honest. The lyrics to so many pop and rock songs. And not just the lyrics, incidentally, even the very image that many pop and rock singers and rock bands deliberately project comes from that list, doesn't it? Or am I missing something here? It's a fact. That is the very image they choose to project. Now, we either tell ourselves it doesn't matter, it doesn't influence us at all. You say that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't influence me at all. I can watch films and TV shows full of profane language, full of gratuitous sex and violence and brutality. Those things don't affect me at all. You could say that. You could say I can listen to as much so-called black metal music, even though the lyrics are blasphemous, Christ-hating, often glorify death and suicide and Satan. I'm not exaggerating. I grew up with some of this stuff, and it only got worse after my time. There's whole genres of music. Death metal. I kid you not. So it don't bother me because I don't listen to that. And some of the greatest rock riffs ever came out centred around a suicide theme, you know. And it's indelibly stamped in my brain. So I don't know that, so it doesn't affect me. You see, I can listen to as much of that stuff as I like because I don't listen to the lyrics anyway. I just listen to the guitar. I'm just into the guitar solo. I'm just into the riffs. That's all I'm listening to. Say that if you want. Or you say, well, your old hat here ain't rock music anymore. It's dance music. It's rap music. And you might say, well, I can watch it. I can listen to as much of that as I want. I can watch the videos on the music channels, you know, and I know they're a bit risque, some of them, but none of that affects me. Incidentally, I only know about it because it's on at work. You can say, I can watch that, I can listen to that as much as I want. I only like the beat, and it gets my foot a-tapping, you know. See, you can either say it doesn't have any effect on you at all, in which case, you might as well overlook Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and Galatians 5, verses 16 through 23. You can kind of overlook that, or rip it out, or whatever, you know. Or else, we can accept the fact that the Lord knows what's good for us, take on board what these passages are telling us, and start to work it out. Get a plan together. You're going to need one, you know. When you're at war, you've got to have a plan. Or the enemy comes and makes mincemeat of you. Got to have a plan. A plan to help you avoid as much as possible the stuff that's harmful to your heart and mind and the hearts and minds of your children who you love and care about. A plan that will help you to feed your heart and feed your mind on good, positive stuff instead. That's what you need. And listen, if you're going to do this, if you're serious about doing this, about obeying God's word, incidentally, it's not going to be a one-off purge of some of the stuff that maybe has crept in over the years and it's there in the background, or, you know, maybe some of the programs you've become addicted to watching. It's not going to be a one-off purge. If you're serious about this, you've got to embark on a lifelong plan. You're going to have to keep it going. And incidentally, say, I can shut my ears now. Don't say that. If you say, I've got no telly, so that don't affect me. I don't listen to rock music and I've got no telly. Bet you've got the internet. And there's more on the internet than there is on the telly. So don't turn off. Okay? Turn your internet off if you want, but don't turn off from what I'm saying. This is going to be a long-term thing. Okay? See, because what you've got to understand, what I've got to understand, is that our enemy is working full out to capture your mind and my mind and the mind of my children and grandchildren. He's working full on. He's full on, 24/7 with it. And he pretty much has the media under control. The education system too. Pretty much got that under control. We need to be vigilant, Apostle Peter said, because your enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you've got to be vigilant, Peter says. Okay, I'm in danger now of preaching my last sermon. Okay, if you didn't hear that, you need to probably listen to that. Let me just have a drink of water. Okay, so what we want to do now is, see, we finished off last time with this question. Looking at the things in Philippians 4, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit says we need to meditate on, that means we need to deeply think upon, we need to feed our hearts and minds on, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy. The question is there anything that conforms to that standard? Is there anything? Well, yes, of course there is. Of course there is. And the Apostle Paul here gives us a clue in verse 8 of the sorts of things that we can start to think about. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Yeah? Okay, so what things? What things did these Philippians and others learn and receive from Paul? What things did they hear and see in him? Well, if you want to turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think here we're given a kind of overview of the sorts of things Paul is talking about. Okay, and here you see Paul was writing to Timothy. And Timothy was kind of like Paul's son in the faith. Timothy was pastoring a church somewhere in very difficult times. Difficult times actually not dissimilar to our own in terms of the sorts of influences that were coming in on the believers. Pretty much the same as our own. The main difference between our time and theirs wasn't so much the clothes that we were, it was actually the fact that today there is a kind of mass media and there is a global connectedness. Okay, that's the key difference between today and then. In other words, whatever influences there were locally on people, they are now global. Everybody's getting it. Everybody. From, you know, some Maasai warrior in the Serengeti, wherever they are, or right through to, you know, Joe Bloggs in England. You know, everybody's getting, it's coming through the mass media. There's a global connectedness, okay? So, let's start with verses 1 to 9. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Or if you turn to Romans chapter 1. verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know in the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There were the influences that people in the days of Paul were receiving. They are the influences that come into the minds of people globally today. Trust you accept that. But notice what Paul says to Timothy then in verse 10 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Go on to verse 13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. By the way, we usually, that verse 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, we usually connect that with things like cults and heresies and false teaching. And that's absolutely right, of course. But I would suggest to you this morning that it goes beyond that. It also refers to the influencing of minds with ideas and lifestyles which are contrary to holiness and godliness. It's not just about cults and heresies. It's about those things that influence people towards ungodliness. All right? Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Paul says, you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have received them. And he talks about what? He talks about the Word of God. The Word of God that is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, top of the list of things that conform to the standard of Philippians 4 verse 8 is obviously the Word of God, the Bible, these Holy Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. We have to give the reading and hearing and receiving of God's Word a place of priority in our lives, friends, every day. Every day. And if you haven't already done so, you need to get yourself a plan together to do that urgently. A plan that will help you to read the whole Word of God, to read the Bible. And part of that plan, if I may suggest, has to include when you're going to read it. And everybody's different, okay? For me, it's first thing in the morning, straight away when I get up. And at least part of the reason for that is practical. If I left it till when I went to bed at night, I'd probably fall asleep before I'd finish reading what I were reading. And that wouldn't do me any good, and I feel it would be insulting to the Lord also. So for me, it's first thing in the morning. But as part of your plan, you've got to have a time. And you've got to do it. You've got to make yourself do it. And if you don't already do so, you've got to start. And they say if you do something for 30 days, you create a habit. All right? That's what psychologists say. I don't know. They say, do it for 30 days, create a habit. So if you're not doing it now, start tomorrow. And if you're not a morning person, start today. And then in next month, it's part of your routine. That's a good thing. And when I say get a plan together, I don't just mean that kind of Bible reading plan that, like, you know how it goes. There's your Bible. Here's you. And you say, all right, it's my Bible reading time. Get my Bible. Where will we go? Show me what you want me to read, Lord. And then you read. You know? It's the dip and delve version of Bible reading. Seriously, folks, don't do that. It's not a plan. It's a lucky dip. And unfortunately, sometimes you're not lucky. I mean, you all know the story, don't you? The Christian bloke is a bit depressed. And he thought, I'll see what the Lord has to say. So he got his Bible and he closed his eyes. And he said, Lord, wherever I open the verse that my eyes... I know half of you know what's coming because I've said it before. Wherever my eyes come, that is your word to me today. And he opened the Bible and read, so he went out and hung himself. And what did he do? He tried again. Because that didn't suit. See, if you're going to have a plan, you've got to have something better than that. You need a Bible plan. Notice, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all scripture is profitable. Mark that word, all scripture. He doesn't say John 3:16 is profitable. He doesn't say, think of your favourite verses. They are profitable. They are. John 3:16, very profitable. Your favourite verses, no doubt. Wonderful. But he doesn't say that. He says all scripture. We need a plan to help us read all the Bible. I just wonder, you know, how, if somebody went and did a survey, how many Christians have actually read all the Bible? I'm not expecting a new Christian, by the way, to have done that. But Christians who've been Christians, say, for more than 5 years, if they've read all the Bible yet, I wonder just how many will be able to tick the box. Not that there's any great kind of thing about that, but if we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration, I believe that we need a plan to help us read the whole Bible. We need to know and to learn the whole counsel of God, friends. That's all the Bible, with its doctrines. Now, the teaching program of this church is a small part of that. It's what we're trying to do. But speed I go, it's going to take you a long while. Maybe more than one lifetime. So it's only a very small part of the programme, okay? But even that, you'd have to commit yourself to it. Like they did in Acts 2.42, they committed themselves to the Apostles' Doctrine. You'd even have to commit yourself to that. But we need to be thinking about a plan to help us feed our hearts and minds on the Word of God each and every day, with the aim of learning the whole counsel of God. And we need to do that with a sense of urgency. Now, when you talk about learning the whole counsel of God, I'm not talking about, you know, being able to rhyme off all the scripture. You know, it'd be great if you could do that. I can't. Rhyme off all the scripture, you know, off by heart. But I'm talking about learning the basic doctrines. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, he said, you know, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you to those that ask. In other words, be able to tell somebody what you believe. Could you do that? Well, let me give you a shortcut now. And this isn't scripture, okay? But you know, when I got saved, I was in a Church of England church. And the thing about Church of England churches is, as part of the service, you recite the creed. I remember I was confirmed as a new believer, actually, in the Church of England church as a teenager. And part of the whole thing there, when you were going to be confirmed, was you had to learn certain things. And one of them was the Apostles' Creed. And I remember, you know, as a young person, I could rhyme it off for you. Apostles' Creed, Lord's Prayer, few other things, you had to read them. You know, we're not in the sort of church that does that. And yet, of late, you know, I've sort of begun to think to myself, that's not altogether a good thing, you know. I mean, listen to this, right? Okay, here's the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Good, that, isn't it? Except one or two, it might have had a sharp intake of breath when I said, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. But you see, you've got to understand that that isn't talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic there means universal. It means the one church of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. So what do you have there in the Apostles' Creed? You've got a sort of summary of fundamental Christian doctrine. And actually, if you learn that, and somebody says, tell me, what do you believe? You got it there. And if you want, you could go to the Nicene Creed. I'm not going to read this, but the Nicene Creed builds on that. And the thing about them is, you see, they're kind of poetic and easy to remember. So I think that's a good thing, don't you? It's not the Word of God. You don't find it anywhere in Scripture, but it's a kind of collection of doctrines that are in the Word of God. That's a good thing. It's easy from that to learn, in a nutshell, the fundamentals of the Christian faith. But coming back to the Bible, I'm just saying we need a plan, and we need to get one urgently, if we haven't already got one, of how we're going to read the Word of God. How are we going to do that? How are we going to make that a priority in our daily lives? Okay? And if you're not already doing that, and especially if you don't see that as important, then with all respect, I have to say, so you're not keeping it real. You're not keeping it real. See, if you don't have a plan to influence yourself with the word of truth, you are, I nearly said almost certainly, I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to say, you are certainly going to come under somebody else's influence. It's that serious. And don't be so foolish, my friend, today to say, well, I'm a Christian, it won't happen to me. I won't come under anybody. I'm a Christian. Word of God has to have priority in your life and in your day, preferably while you're awake. And you need a plan to help you read it. If anyone wants one, come and ask me. I'll give you a Bible reading plan. Not that reading the scriptures cover to cover is going to make you super spiritual in a year, but what it will do is it will help you to get, as you do that, as you read through the scriptures again and again and again, you start to get to, it starts to fit together. It starts to come together. Okay. Right, but does that mean then all we are to do is to sit reading the Bible? Is that what you're saying, Ian? Is that the only book? Well, of course, I'm not saying that. Although, it wouldn't do us any harm if all we did were read the Bible. If that was our only book, our only source of it, that wouldn't do you any harm, but I'm not saying that. I'm not saying all we've got to do is sit reading the Bible all day, every day. But as long as the Bible has a priority and it's not just like quarter of an hour quick, you know, I've read my chapter, shut the Bible, and then that kind of somehow, you know, keeps you from all the other influences that you're going to get throughout the day. It's got to be, there's got to be a way that you are going to receive the Bible. You know, something that is a really good thing is to be with like-minded Christian believers who like to talk about the Word of God. who like to discuss the things of the Word of God. You know, that's a great thing. And do you know, that's biblical. You read in the Law of Moses, you know, what does God say to Moses, tell the children of Israel to do? You know, when you sit at home, talk about the Word. When you rise up, talk about the Word. When you're at table, talk about the Word. You know, what he's saying is, it's not just a question of like, I've done my quarter of an hour, I've read my chapter 3, or whatever you do. That's it. That's me done for the day. It's good if you can make it part of your life in that kind of a sense. But you know what? There's other good books too, and magazines, and videos as well. And nothing compares with the Bible. That is in a league of its own. Nothing else compares with that, okay? Nothing. But here's a few things I think are good. That's why I'm trying to be a bit practical here. I'm not telling everybody what to do. Take it or leave it. I mean, I've got hundreds of theological books, be honest with you, and if I brought most of them, you would look at them and you would say, no way, I'm not going there. You know, you wouldn't want to do. So I haven't actually brought any of them. A lot of them are very good. Some are sleep worthy, but many of them are sleep worthy. So if anybody's suffering, what do you call it, when you can't go, insomnia, come to me. I've got some great books that'll help you with that one. But I haven't brought any of those, okay? Because I know that if I brought them, nobody would want to go there anyway. But I've brought some things that, and some of this might surprise some of you, okay? And I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with everything in these, some of them anyway, but I think, compared with, you know, most of the garbage on the television, incidentally, you know, when the dustman comes, takes your bin, you know, when that machine tips it up, what comes out? Rubbish. Why's that? Because garbage in, garbage out. Okay? So, you know, if that all you do is eat up garbage, then that's what is going to come out. And Jesus said that, didn't he, in Matthew 15, out of the heart comes. You know, it's what's in there. So some of these, you know, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with everything in them, but overall, they'll be encouraging, entertaining some of them, and even inspire your faith, some of this, okay? So, I have got a few things here, okay? Some of them are not very edifying, but come back to that later. All right, let's start with a book. I always recommend that, because I think that Pilgrim's Progress, aside of the Bible, is perhaps one of the most helpful books anyone could read. Okay? And if you're going to get that, I would get the one in 17th century English, personally, rather than the modern abridged version. That's my opinion, because there's far more in it. And you might struggle a bit with the language for about the first 30 pages, but after that, you'll get used to it. And you see, the point of Pilgrim's Progress is, it's simply a Christian's like journey through life and the different problems and individuals that he encounters, and you readily identify with so much of it. It's great. So I mean, suit yourself, but I think that's a great book for any Christian to read, especially part one. Okay. Magazines, right? I get this from Answers in Genesis. And the lovely thing about Answers magazine, it's not filled with theological articles. Most of it is things about nature. You know, the wonders and beauty of creation. And the thing is, it's all done, and it's all it describes nature, and it glorifies God the Creator. And it also tackles issues like evolution and, you know, evolutionary teaching and theory and all those kinds of things. But it's not heavy. It's easy. The photography is beautiful. And, you know, it's really worthwhile because it glorifies God. All right. And it doesn't go really heavily into, like, you know, academic and intellectual scientific arguments about things. It's just a good mag. That's okay. Okay, what about things that people watch? Okay, well, all right, here's a few DVDs, right, that I think, again, I won't agree with everything in them, but that came out relatively recently. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Do You Believe? That's a great film. That'll encourage and inspire your faith. It's a good film. God's Not Dead, 1 and 2. Good films. Again, there's things in them that, you know, I'm a bit... But overall, when you get to the end of the film, you'll feel good about your faith, okay? They're inspired, in my opinion. Case for Christ. That came out recently. Lee Strobel's testimony, really. I'll give you a warning, there's one bad word in it. And why they did that, I don't know. There's one bad word in it, but the film itself, great faith building. It's a good film and entertaining too. Faith of Our Fathers. Anything by Ray Comfort, great. Funny but also serious. Audacity deals with the homosexual issue. It's a great film, really worth watching. One lasts an hour. These by this Sherwood, they're all good. Facing Giants, really uplifting stuff. War Room, that's really about prayer, but it's about a woman whose marriage is breaking up. Excellent, excellent film. Fireproof, again, that's about marriage, Christian marriage. Really, really good film. Sorry if some of you have fallen asleep, but these are great films, I'm telling you. And it's not Star Wars, it's Christian stuff, and they are really, really good to watch, okay? So, I think they're recommendable. Right, here's one. This is not really for the faint-hearted, okay? This is much more serious, and it's not pleasant to watch. It's an expose on the rock and pop industry, right? Now, it's a bit old-fashioned in that it kind of deals with... It sort of goes up to about the 80s, and it's a bit old-fashioned, the presentation, but as somebody who grew up with rock music and I'm well clued up on a lot, I think that's good. From a Christian perspective, it gives you an overall view. Trouble is, if you don't want to hear the message, you'll finish off and you'll say, never heard of half of those bands and it's before my time, end of, and you'll close the thing and that'll be that. But there's a serious message there. I'm going to come to some of that in a bit. It's not fun to watch, but it is a good expose from a Christian point of view of what the rock industry is about. Hell's Bells, that's apparently they did another one about later music as well. Okay, so for various reasons, that's some stuff that, you know, it's not the Bible, but things there that will be helpful to your faith. Now, the thing about some of these things that I've just mentioned and other books as well is they don't avoid the issues and ideas and philosophies and messages we're being bombarded with from elsewhere. Whether heresies or false teachings or biblical truth or whatever it is, whether we're talking about the influences of fallen, sinful humanity, good Christian books and good Christian, you know, ministries will actually deal with those things in a biblical way and help us to understand what the biblical point of view is. Shine God's word on it and help us to come to a proper understanding of the truth. Let me give you I've already given you a couple of examples. That Pilgrim's Progress, it really shines a light on certain individuals and certain issues that affect the Christian in an everyday Christian life. Answers magazine does. That definitely does. You know, and they sort of answer the questions. Okay, but are we saying we shouldn't read or listen to or watch anything that is secular, that's from the secular? Is that what I'm saying? Am I saying to Christians, you should only ever read Christian books, Christian magazines, watch Christian DVDs? Is that what I'm saying? Actually, some pastors would say that. Some pastors would even give you a recommended list that you have to stick to. But I'm not saying that. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Not everything that comes under the Christian banner is good. And not everything that is secular is necessarily bad. What I am saying is we need to think. And we need to be careful. We have to be discerning. And we have to make judgments on more than personal taste. It's got to be more than that. Let me give you an example. I'm sorry if this upsets anybody, but when I was younger, I was into rock music, okay? So one of my favourite bands in those days was Led Zeppelin, who were, well, an incredible influence on rock music. But when I found out that Jimmy Page, who's the lead guitarist in the band Led Zeppelin, when I found out that he was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, and actually one of the foremost occultists in the country, then I had to say goodbye to my Led Zeppelin records. Okay, so some people are saying, who's Aleister Crowley? Okay, well, Aleister Crowley has been a massive influence on so many people, and especially in recent decades, people who have become prominent in the rock and pop world, okay? And Aleister Crowley crops up everywhere. I mean, does everybody know it? I mean, he features, for example, he's there on the front cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. For anybody who's interested, back row, second from the left, that is Aleister Crowley looking down. Why is he there? Well, they said that the people who feature on the cover were people who've influenced them over the years. So Crowley's up there, okay? And so many other rock musicians. For example, people who are David Bowie fans will be familiar with Quicksand or Funky Dory. First lines, I'm closer to the golden dawn, immersed in Crowley's uniform. It's part of that poem. Mark the word immersed. I am immersed in Crowley's uniform, David Bowie said, back in about 1972. Who's Aleister Crowley? Some people are saying. Oh, and by the way, if you're into rock music, you like the Eagles, you like Hotel California, you open the gatefold, and there's the Eagles and a number of other people, and they're all in this hotel lobby. And if you have a little look above, you'll see somebody's looking down on the crowd. Who's that person? Well, it's not Alistair. It's Anton LaVey. Who? Who's Anton LaVey? Who's Aleister Crowley? Well, you've got access to the internet. Google it. And you'll find out who they are. Well, so what? Some people say, whoever they are. I don't listen to the lyrics anyway. I'm not bothered. I only listen to the guitar. That's all I'm listening to. When the guitar starts to screech, I love it. It's just the guitar for me. Well, let me quote you something that arguably the greatest rock guitarist, he was the greatest rock guitarist who ever lived, and certainly the most influential rock guitarist who ever lived, Jimi Hendrix. This is what he said, I quote, music is a spiritual thing of its own. You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at the weakest point, you preach into their subconscious what we want to say. That's what Jimi Hendrix said. Do you get what he's saying? Music is a spiritual thing. And through it, you hypnotize people. And when you get them to the weakest point, that's when you preach in the things you want to say. He also said this. Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. He's obviously a classic philosopher, Jimi Hendrix. That's what he said. Of course, you might say, he didn't know what he was talking about. Did he? You see, the thing about Aleister Crowley is the central tenet in the religion that he founded, The central tenet is this: do as thou wilt. Do as thou wilt. In other words, do what you want. And is that not the message that comes through generally through the whole rock music, pop music thing? Is that not what it is? Do as thou wilt. Well, is there any connection between the fact that some of the most prominent rock musicians in history admitted, as far as the Beatles are concerned, they had him back row, second from the left. What are they telling you? He's one of our influences. So is it any surprise that do as thou wilt is the philosophy of the day? Huh? Well, you might say no. I just listen to the guitar. But Jimmy told you. What happens when he plays? He hypnotises you. Coming back to the Bible. If you look at the list in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, all that horrible stuff, and you find the same thing in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. See, the thing is about the Bible, it's all there. In the Bible, I mean, the chapters, those chapters at the end of the book of Judges are shocking. I've been reading the Bible cover to cover for years, and every time I get to the end of the book of Judges, it never fails to shock me. I'm whoa, that is like gross. You know, and then you look at the things that happened during the reign of King Manasseh of Judah. You know, it's all, you've got child sacrifice. I mean, it's unbelievable. The thing is, the Bible, God's word, doesn't avoid the difficult issues at all. What it does is, it exposes them. And it shows them where they start. They start in the mind. They start in the heart. They start because of an influence somebody has fallen under. It's time to make some decisions, friends, about the influences in our lives. What we're going to feed our hearts and minds on. What are we going to give our time to? What are we going to give ourselves to? And our children, what are we going to give to them? It says this in Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And believe me, if Aleister Crowley is being sown, he ain't going to reap much that's profitable, seriously. He said, I never heard of him. It doesn't make any difference whether you've heard of him. They have. And they, directly or indirectly, becomes part of the message. I'm not telling anybody what you should listen to and what you should not. I'm not telling anybody what to watch and what to not watch. I'm just telling you, be aware. The brainwashed don't know they're being brainwashed. You know, you've got to be careful what the influences are that are in your lives. Do you want God's peace? Do you want the God of peace to be with you? I do. Well, this is what Paul says. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So you get his peace. Okay? So again, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm not telling anybody what to watch. I'm just saying, nothing comes without a message. Nothing. In fact, old what's his name, Lenin, you know, the Russian bloke, he said basically you can convert a nation through the music. They knew that. Do it through the music. Music can uplift and inspire, and it can degrade. And just be careful and think. Amen. Let's just close with prayer. Gracious Father, help us to do that. Lord, we realise we've got 24 hours in a day and time to spend on things. And Lord, when it comes to my age, Lord God, I look back and I think, you know, I've wasted a lot of time on a lot of stuff that probably was useless anyway. And Lord God, I wasted a lot of valuable time. I could have been feeding my mind on stuff that was far more profitable, but we learn as we go along. And Lord, I just pray that we would take seriously what your word says, whatever our age, and we'd think seriously about the time we have and the things that, Lord, we receive. Lord, realising that there's a battle going on. It's a battle for our mind. It's in the area of the mind and the heart and the will. And Lord God, you only want the best for your children. So, Lord God, direct our thoughts. Help us to get a plan if we haven't already got one, that, Lord God, we can have our lives, our minds, and those of our children enriched with your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.